We're welcoming back to the program the director of the Norfolk County RSVP program and our good friend here at QATV, Robert Pearson, to bring us a little update. Nice to see you again, Robert.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really enjoy speaking to you as regularly as we have been able to do, and I want to wish you and QATV a very happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much. We missed you at our celebration, but you were there in spirit, I know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How old is the RSVP program, by the way? Just curious.
Technically, it is about 32 years old now, but I keep on keeping the magic 30 in my head because due to COVID, we haven't been able to really have a celebration of the 30th. So even though it'll be like our 33rd next August, we're kind of going to be celebrating our 30th.
Oh, okay. So you have to have a super triple celebration then.
That's right. We'll have a three-layer cake.
One for each decade plus, right?
You got it. A thick decade of cake for each layer. Nice. Yeah.
How are things going at the program?
You know what? We are always so pleased, especially during COVID, to be able to recognize needs, whatever they are, in Norfolk County and for Quincy. We had boosted up a lot of remote volunteer opportunities. A lot of them are still going on, though I'm happy to see that more sites are opening up for a return to in-person volunteering. So we are hopefully all turning a corner and we'll do the safeguards necessary to keep moving forward, have more people feel safe to be in general doing things outdoors and hopefully volunteering indoors as well. So that's how we're gearing.
Good. That's great news. I know that we have several topics to talk about today, but I did want to ask you about one that stuck in my mind, particular from last time we talked, was the college students training seniors with their electronics, and wondering how that made out.
Well, that's a great memory that you have, and that was part of an experiment that we are kind of reevaluating what we have learned, and I think your listeners will pretty much understand it as well. It really was interesting to offer remote training for people to learn their devices in the face of COVID. What we learned is that people that had familiarity with their device already could really take advantage of learning how to use Zoom and, learn more features of Facebook or, email attachments. But we did one session where we were trying to teach people to use their brand new iPads. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that remote training alone will not assist people with brand new devices. They will need to have a family member or a volunteer in place to help them orient in person to their new device. And we are planning to offer sometime early in the new year, an iPad loaner program. Oh. We have about six new iPads. We're going to seek out people in the community that have familiarity with their phones or some computer. We don't want people to come and learn a technology like this without having some basic concept of virtual computing. And then we will have volunteers work with them in the home for a little while, then we'll be able to proceed with a group training remotely.
Okay.
So that's what we've learned in the meantime. And it was overall good to have people learn how to use their devices more effectively, but we had a good number of frustrated people in this last round.
Yeah, understandable. If it's something brand new you've never even touched before, you need to know how to at least turn it on, first of all. So you need somebody there to help you with this. Yeah.
Yeah, but I will mention that if some of your listeners out there are keen to learn an iPad, that mm-hmm. are comfortable using their phone or a desktop computer or a laptop, they could contact me to be on the waiting list.
Okay. And how about for volunteers? Do you need folks to help out with that, Robert?
I will need volunteers. It wasn't on our list to discuss, but it is a wonderful topic to mention that that we will be looking for probably in the next month, maybe 5 volunteers to start.
Okay.
And these need to be older adults. We recruit volunteers age 55 and older as part of our grant requirement for AmeriCorps seniors. So if you're willing to help, anybody out there, please contact me at 781-234, almost gave you my home number, 781-234-3445.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, as you're well aware, this type of technology is not going away. And I think it's with us for the foreseeable future. So folks
and it's
will use it. Yeah.
Yes.
We do have many things are on the list to talk about today, though. So why don't we do that and start with your English as a second language for QCAP and Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center folks.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Remote learning is continuing, though some of these facilities had hoped by this point to be bringing back in person, but the Delta variant hasn't allowed people to to really do that much. So both Quincy Community Action Program, QCAP, and BCNC, Boston Chinahood Neighborhood Center, are looking for individuals to go through some training to become ESOL tutors. There's an opportunity to be involved with conversation. If you want something that's less structured, mm-hmm. and you want to basically help people practice their English, you might do that over the phone, or you might do that over Zoom. But I'd say the bigger opportunity would be for individual tutors that have a lot of flexibility to work 1 or 2 hours a week at a time that's convenient to you and your tutee, to your learner. Mm-hmm. And there would be instruction available for that as well. So it's an opportunity to help immigrants primarily, in some cases, students who are studying for the GED exam, but these are adults. These aren't high school students. So these are all opportunities for adults learning to improve their English. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, there are long-term Americans that just never really developed, their reading abilities that are now interested to do so.
Okay. And would a tutor need, I mean, really specific background in like grammar and things like that?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If you wanted to become a classroom assistant, mm-hmm. then it would be helpful to have a background in English, some past experience, and possibly even knowing a second language besides English. So, the opportunities are flexible and varied at both of these locations. I will also mention that in addition to these Quincy programs, through the Stoughton Literacy Program, in January, we will be recruiting more. I mention them because they are a very, very well-regarded program that offers 12 hours of training, the most extensive training. And it's pretty, what's the word? It's kind of pretty detail-oriented. So people that really want a good level of instruction might want to consider signing up for that. And people could call me at any time to go in that sign up. It's a little early, but those are the various programs for ESOL, Joe.
Okay. That's interesting. And does the tutor and the student, stay together throughout the entire training? So they develop a relationship that way?
They do. And that's part of, I've heard very heartwarming stories of people that have stayed connected to their tutors afterwards, even gone to their, swearing in ceremonies when they become citizens. So this is part of the beauty of volunteers making an investment in others and and getting, you know, feeling pride and, you know, just doing something that's really good, really matters in the community.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you hear it all the time. Volunteers always get more than they give. You know, it's a very enriching experience to be a volunteer to help somebody with a life skill such as this, because you just never know where they're going to take that, you know, in the next step in their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Just talking about it, it just makes me feel really good. It just, you know, so many of these opportunities offer, you know, an ongoing experience with individuals. And I, you know, there are a couple other programs that I'm thinking of right away that have that longevity built in. If I can proceed, I'll share them.
Please. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So friendly visiting in person is starting to be more active.
Okay.
And for the Quincy and surrounding area, Quincy, Randolph, Braintree, Weymouth, Milton, there are many opportunities to work with an individual who's visually impaired or blind. Now, we work with the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, also known as MABV, M-A-B-V-I. And the, I would say that the most frequent need right now is to help people with their shopping. In some cases, you would get a list and do shopping on your own. In other cases, you would be bringing the individual along, and assisting them with shopping. Other cases, you'd be visiting in the home or apartment to read mail, help with correspondence or bill paying. And of course, this is a place for, you know, friendships and relationships to develop as well. Opportunities are usually once a week or twice a month.
Okay. All right. And there's training available for that. And I'm sure you do vetting for background checks.
We do background checks, plus MABV will offer an online training. It'll go back to in-person eventually for really how to be oriented to visiting and working with somebody who's blind.
Right. Yeah.
There are clearly ways of being attentive when kind of being, let's say, in the grocery store with somebody who's blind, of how to have them hold your elbow with your elbow in close to you so that they're following you. And you're guiding them,
right?
And it's a safety measure.
Probably the best way is just to ask them, because they know what they need, right?
Yeah, that is the best way. Some people hear the story. Some people say, "Oh, you know, let me help you across the street," and they'll just, you know, take them, and it's very very uncomfortable feeling for the blind person without them really being part of it and in control.
Absolutely, yeah. Very good. That's a fantastic program. I know that's one that's been going on for quite a while. Are there special considerations with COVID for that, Robert? Obviously, you're in person.
Well, sure. I mean, people are only going to be matched if they're fully vaccinated.
Okay.
Then you're going to be wearing a mask,
right?
You know, when you're when you're in the home. This is something, quite honestly, I think will just be getting more popular as eventually, hopefully sooner than later, the virus continues to decline. It's declining now. Yes. It's coming to be a little colder. We may see a little increase because of that, but there's a lot greater hope, you know, with what we know that, you know, that this is a downward cycle now with the virus and variants, so that people will step into more in-person opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, as well as clearly go out in the world and be able to, you know, partake in more so-called normal activities. It's
right.
been hard to believe. We never thought it was going to be getting on to 3 years. I mean, it's kind of, we shudder as we look back that it's really the case, but we've adapted despite all the losses.
So many people, you know, have over the past couple of years either retired or maybe downsized their work schedule. So maybe they have some extra time and are looking to volunteer somehow.
I do hope so. And we do see some rising numbers, which is very good. We want to bounce back because we're only really at close to 50% of our of our volunteer goal.
Okay. I mean,
we've built back from 26% a year ago of our volunteer force now to close to 50. So we're rebuilding, and it's hopeful. Now I'm thinking about mentioning our flagship program, Joe, which is our Rides for Veterans program.
Yes.
Rides for Vets, we are very proud of. There are really no other non-veteran organizations. We're not part of the VA. We're not a VA organization. We're a national service program sponsored by the Norfolk County Commissioners. We give free rides to veterans, spouses, and widows of veterans who live in Norfolk County, or even if they don't live in Norfolk County, if they're going to somewhere in Norfolk County.
Okay.
We would give them a ride. We do have parameters based on, it's getting to be a growing volume again, you know, 60 rides a month we're giving again. So that's, it's if we count one way rides. So that is, you know, that is increasing. So we will allow people to receive these rides from, you know, where they will be picked up in an individual's car. It's not being in a van and waiting for a group of people to come. And this will, you know, we allow one ride per week, and we request a minimum of 7 days or 1 week's notice. Okay. In order to find a driver. Somebody gives us notice 4 or 5 days, we'll say, we'll try, let's keep our fingers crossed, but we cannot guarantee.
Okay.
We will find a driver. So with that, we are looking for more drivers on a flexible schedule to be able to do a minimum of 2 rides a month.
Okay.
Ideally a ride a week, because we are growing in need again. We have a wonderful software called Assisted Rides, where people who come on board need to have some basic comfort with going on the internet. They will see the list of all the rides. It's mapped out with approximate length of time of the appointments, as well as mileage. And I'm happy to say that we are well equipped to give mileage reimbursement to our drivers, a lot greater capacity for reimbursement for veteran drivers than for all our other volunteers, because we want drivers to go out of the way to go to neighboring towns or go the extra distance. We'll reimburse up to 300 miles a month at 40 cents a mile.
Okay.
So we are looking for you, if you're listening, if you want to give back and give a ride to a veteran. Of course, we're following COVID protocol at this point. And it's, again, very rewarding. Wonderful stories of friendships that develop, people having coffee or tea together.
Yeah.
We're very proud of this program. We get many requests for residents outside of Norfolk County, and unfortunately, we're not able to provide the rides for them.
Yeah, I bet too. You know, this would be a way for younger veterans to help older veterans too.
Younger veterans, yes, and younger in the sense that age 55 is still considered pretty young nowadays. We need all of our volunteers to be age 55 or older. Unfortunately, we can't take a 35-year-old veteran. We could give a ride to a 35-year-old veteran.
Right.
So we will serve all veterans, though, as part of AmeriCorps Seniors, our grantor. All volunteers need to be age 55 or older.
Okay. And a ride to anywhere?
Well, you know, I consider it pretty open.
Okay.
We have on occasion given rides to people to the Bedford VA or the Providence VA. I'd say those are the furthest we will go.
Okay.
In all honesty, we have more resistance from people going into downtown Boston.
believe that, yes.
But we are able in some cases to meet that need. Our primary destinations are Brockton,
yep,
West Roxbury, and Jamaica Plain VA. But we'll go to any local dental office, doctor's office. Even if it's not a medical appointment, based on the volume we have, we'll take somebody grocery shopping or Somebody once went to some kind of, I don't think it was a dance, but it was some kind of fun event. So, okay. we'll take it to fun events too. Medical appointments are not the most fun usually.
Right, exactly. And if somebody has a special medical need, they're in a wheelchair perhaps or something, is that taken into account?
I'm glad you bring that up to mention. Since our drivers are using their own vehicles, we could only give rides to people who have a level of independence. So if you use a wheelchair, it would need to be a folding wheelchair. And you need to have the veteran needs to have the capacity to transfer pretty easily.
Okay.
From the wheelchair to the car. Any veteran is welcome to bring along an aide or a family member to assist them. We just need to know that ahead of time.
Okay.
And we will also be happy to offer repeat rides in a couple of cases. I mentioned that our limit is one a week, but if somebody is going to dialysis or chemotherapy, or in some cases there's a nice adult daycare center that one in particular, it might be others, then we usually are successful at finding rides twice a week, usually one way.
Okay.
For both of those, where family members make up the difference.
Gotcha.
So those are great questions, Joe. You've been paying attention throughout all these months and years to RSVP. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's important. I try and put myself in people's shoes as to questions they would ask. And I'm thinking, if I were to do this, I couldn't accommodate a motorized wheelchair in my car, certainly. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about younger folks, Robert, particularly elementary school kids.
Yeah, we do have a multi-generational, intergenerational, I don't know the more appropriate term. It might be intergenerational program where we match older adults into elementary school classes. For your listeners, we're looking at Weymouth and Randolph.
Okay.
You know that during COVID, there have been a lot of challenges in the classroom, and I'm happy that about 5 or 6 of our 14 schools are back in action currently. Okay. We are looking for more volunteers, maybe 2 or 3 more at this time, but certainly more for the January semester.
Okay.
As well. So, the activities, it'll either be small group, reading, helping individuals with math lessons or English lessons. Mm-hmm. And you would have the same students in classroom every week. At times there are opportunities, let's say in a library, in the school as well. But I remember the few times I've gone into the schools. I don't go that often because Chris Goldsmith, our volunteer coordinator, runs the school program. But the few times I've gone there, the wonderful energy of feeling these little young spirits with excitement and natural enthusiasm and interest. It's wonderful. We've had a number of retired school teachers come back to get more as volunteers, but you don't have to be a school teacher to come on in.
We
welcome you to give us a call at 781-234-3445.
Very good. And I'm assuming that the tutoring, they would work with the teachers, right? And then develop some kind of a program.
Yes. Yes, for sure, Joe.
Fun. Okay. Connecting generations. That's what I like about RSVP. Yes.
we do that with kids. And we have a number of programs starting in the, I'm just thinking about the variety of programs that are also upcoming, Joe. We are going to be looking for remote tax volunteers. It's coming back.
It's not too soon to think about it. That's true.
It's not too soon. The trainings will really start toward the end of November and December.
Oh, okay.
So we will be recruiting for that as well. But before that, we will be running our annual holiday drive for active duty military. So I will be reaching out to the Quincy Senior Center, as well as the Quincy Veterans Office, to see if they want to help us with collections. I have, we have a list of about 50 personal care items that we collect for Cape Cod Cares for Our Troops, which last year we brought down 6,000 personal care items, though I've gotten a request for us not to have to count them as accurately, because there's so many, it's rather tedious to do a full count of 6,000 items. So we'll estimate it, but we hope it'll be a big number again. We have about five or six locations throughout the county that will help us collect items.
Okay.
So that's what's coming up.
Lots coming up. It's really good that we chatted, because the last time we did this, there were a whole different set of programs that we chatted about. So this great opportunity is still available.
Thank you, Joe. I'm glad that things are picking up. Quincy, of course, is our big city in the county where there's a lot of activity. Just as an aside, food pantries and Meals on Wheels drivers are always sought. I tend not to mention them in the highlights because that's not where the primary need is right now. But hey, anybody listening, also Meals on Wheels driving or being involved with the food pantry in Quincy, there are opportunities for you as well.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Anything else we should touch on right now, do you think, Robert?
Oh, I feel like you've been allowing me to talk and talk and talk, Joe, and share so much. I think I will stop. Thank all your listeners and thank you, of course, and wish everybody continued vigilance during this time and, you know, being able to, you know, step by step, find our way back out into a joyful and purposeful and fun activity.
Absolutely. We all pray for that. Sure. If I could ask you to just one more time, just give out your phone number and maybe the email address, Robert.
Sure. Well, let me first say, my name is Robert Pearson. I'm the director of the Norfolk County RSVP Volunteer Program, which is funded by AmeriCorps Seniors. My direct phone number, please feel free to call me anytime, is 781-234-3445. And the best email address to use for your inquiries is rsvp@norfolkcounty.org. Also, feel free to contact me if you or a loved one is interested in receiving veteran rides and not just in volunteering your support.
Excellent.
So thank you.
You're very welcome. Great to chat with you. And we will catch up again soon.
I hope so, Joe. Thanks much. Have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.